the book of Luke, chapter number 2, one more time. I know Brother Kent said that he's an evangelist. They don't preach these Christmas messages, but there's one more that I have not preached on for a long time, and just a thought that hit me for a morning devotion the other day and on Saturday mornings. And I want to share it with you and preach it tonight. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1. Read 1 through 7 as you find your place. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's be seated. We'll bow to pray. Father in heaven, ask that you'd again bless your word. Lord, you give me wisdom. Give me liberty to preach upon the passage and around the thoughts of this verse. And then, God, we thank you for having us in mind and coming all the way from heaven's throne to be humiliated, as it would seem, in front of the world and the angels and creation, but yet you were for a purpose, and it's honoring that you would love us so much. God, thank you for extending that grace and that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, we pray that you'd help us to be mindful of that, and I pray that as we try to share the gospel and witness and plant seeds, Lord, if no one ever got saved, you'd still be worthy of shouting it from the housetop and saying, glory, 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 because of what you've done. And so thank you, and I pray that those that here would call upon your name and would follow too. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. This passage is full of just wonderful thoughts to expound upon and explain and express. And, you know, I look at this decree and how divine inspiration of Scripture is in tune with the thoughts and the whims of the world's politics and governments. God sees all those things and has it way, way thought out, even though we think that it's in our hands and God knows what's going to happen. We do have free will, and we do have decisions that we get to make and go back and forth with, but the decree from Caesar Augustus, who would have ever thought that the Caesar of the Roman Empire would be involved with bringing the Christ child to Bethlehem by a decree to tax? And I think I said it before, I don't like any taxes. Can somebody say amen? But I like the result of some taxes. I just don't like to pay them. But the decree would bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. And there was quite a distance that they would travel. Nazareth to Bethlehem, I didn't look it up exactly, but in those days, any distance would be quite a distance to travel on animal or walking or however their mode of transportation. No one had Mustangs back then, Brother Nate Klink. They didn't have Mustangs. They had other animals, but not with that many horsepower underneath the hood. But the decree in the distance, and then of the family of David. The family lineage was important as well to bring them to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem, the house of bread, is what that little town means. And I've looked at word meanings and try to get some extra insight from things of that nature. But he is the bread of life, and he came down. And isn't it just like a loaf of bread that would start out small and would rise? And there's no yeast in Jesus to puff him up, but yet he came humbly as humble could be. I love that thought that Brother Kent York said today. If he was born in the palace, it would have still been humiliating for Jesus because of who he was and the power and the presence of God in human flesh. But he was born in the manger and wrapped. The first Christmas gift was wrapped in swaddling clothes. I don't know about you, but I've threatened to wrap presents in newspaper because it's free. You know what I'm saying? I mean, used newspapers, not going to buy a newspaper, but used ones. just give me some old whatever and wrap up things because they're just going to rip it up anyway. Why does it need to look pretty? It's all going to go in the trash bag in 5 seconds. I'm going to start a trend. I'm going to sell old newspapers for Christmas wrapping. Anyway, and yet this first Christmas gift, the greatest gift that was ever offered and given, was wrapped in swaddling clothes. The distresses they had not only were taxing upon their minds, but also giving birth to a child had to have been on both of their minds as well. I don't know if there were thoughts that the baby would come on the way or once they got there, but the Bible says it was the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. When it gets down to days for someone to be delivered, everyone around knows it. You know what I'm saying? There's just some nesting that goes on. There's just some outward signs. When me and Courtney moved up here and we didn't have children, and somebody, I don't know what it is, that picture. Emily Black gave me a picture tonight of me and Presley when she was just still an infant. And just hilarious when I see some of the baby pictures and then remember how all my kids look the same. They all look like me and Courtney. I mean, it's amazing. You just don't know how that works out. But anyway, Courtney was pregnant with Taryn, and we were excited. And then shortly after, Katie and Will, they were pregnant with, Katie was pregnant with Audrinelli. And it came to be May, and we had thought that Taryn was overdue. It was time for the baby to come. And Courtney's like, "What? You know, I want this baby to get out." We gave her eviction notice a month before. You know, she was trying to get Taryn to come out. And there was a family that their lawnmower broke in Mill Valley. And so Courtney said, "Hey, I'm trying to have this baby. I will come mow your yard." And so I loaded up the mower in the back of her car and, like, put the trunk down. It was sticking out and tied it up. And I'm like, "Here you go, babe. You want to go mow a yard? You go mow a yard. I mean, you want to have this baby? Let's do whatever we can." And so she goes to Mill Valley. She's a week overdue and trying to push mow this family's yard just to be a blessing so that they, you know, their mower was broken. So she push mows the yard. I mean, get this picture. Somebody's about 10 months pregnant, okay? And she's pushed me in the yard. And the neighbor was on the porch. And so after she got done, she said, "Hey, just tell them that the preacher's wife mowed their yard," and told them what family it was. And all of a sudden, the person on the porch said, "They don't live there." She mowed some random person's yard in the middle of Mill Valley when she was 10 months pregnant. It's hilarious. She was trying to do anything to get that baby to come on out. And maybe Mary's like, "Bounce a little harder, donkey. Get me there. And whatever we got to do, pay twice the taxes. It's time for this birth to happen." But as the days were accomplished and she was be delivered, there, the Bible says that after she brought forth the firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, and we learned manger was probably concrete instead of like our wooden one this year at our Christmas play and thoughts of that nature. But the last phrase is one that I'm sure has been preached on 1,000 times, and I've preached on it before. I want to use it a little bit tonight, but it says, "Because there was no room for them in the inn." And I was just looking at online, and I like to read some commentaries, and one commentary said, "Well, it wasn't that there was no motel, and he didn't make reservations." My sister sent me this little picture and said, "The story behind Silent Night." And it had Mary and Joseph, and Mary said, "You didn't get a reservation?" He said, "No, I didn't think we'd need one." And it says, that's how the first Silent Night began, right there. "Are you all right?" "I'm fine," Mary said. The first Silent Night, right there in Scripture. But I was reading, and this one commentary said, "Well, it wasn't that there was no inns. It's just that there was no, you know, the spare rooms would often be in the front, and they didn't want to have a baby in their front room." I'm like, how far stretched do you have to get than just to read the Bible? Yeah. And it says, there was no room for them, yeah, all three, right? And it said, he was in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Just let the Bible say what it needs to say, right? Well, when I think about that, oh, that poor innkeeper, and I know there's many songs and many stories, but what an opportunity that he passed up, not giving room to let Jesus be born in his room. Wouldn't it have been the neat part of the story if he had people in there and he said, "Get out, Jesus is coming. I don't care how much you paid. Somebody more important is here than you." Now, he didn't do that. But he would have been worth doing that once you knew who was going to be born that night. Jesus, God in human flesh, born in the world and no room for him. You know, a lot of people don't have any room for him still. I don't want to hear you say amen, but we know it's true. And it's not just the lost world. Oh, I think of that, someone that doesn't have Jesus and they don't have any room for Jesus in their plans or in their future or in their thoughts or in their idea of eternity. I talked to someone and he said, "I just think I'm going to die and be buried and that's it." I'm like, "You're going to have your eyes wide open when you take your last breath and shut your eyes for the last time." Oh, my friend, to have no room for Jesus, what a horrible mistake. And I looked up some other things and, you know, opportunities come and go. And you think of some of the opportunities that were passed. It was said that in 1873, Thomas Edison went to the British government and tried to talk to them about his light bulb that he thought the whole world would be able to use one day. And the British government, according to the story, said, "That's fine for our brothers across the sea. We don't need it here." Can you imagine passing up on the light bulb? In 1876, a man offered Western Union the patent for his invention for $100,000. And Western Union Company told him it was idiotic to think everyone in the country would have a telephone in their house someday. 1876, Western Union passed up buying the patent on the telephone for $100,000. 1975, Kodak, the film company, they rejected some information about digital pictures that was being looked into by one of their own workers, and the information was suppressed because they thought it would challenge their already lucrative market that they had on photo film. And so they just refused it and tried to dismiss it until actually, later on, the information got out. Anybody buy Kodak cameras anymore? I sell them on eBay every once in a while. If you got an old one, I get an auction. In the 1970s, Hewlett-Packard had a chance to join in with Steve Wozniak and be a part of the personal computer market as he was trying to figure out a place for his personal computer that he was designing. And Hewlett-Packard at that time didn't think it was worth their time or investment. No one will want a personal computer in every house. In the 1970s, Steve Jobs offered one-third of his Apple Corporation to a guy named Bushnell, but he thought he was crazy and didn't want to have any part of it. In 1980, this is my favorite one, the movie E.T. was in the making, and they wanted E.T. to be eating M&Ms when he had his special little moment. And so they went to the Mars Candy Company, and they said, "Hey, we will have E.T. eat M&Ms." And they said, "No, we don't want to invest in your movie." So Reese's Pieces got in there, and their sales shot up by 75% or 65% the next year. Isn't that something? Opportunities just passed. And then when you look back, you think, "Oh, man, if only I would have bought a Bitcoin about 10 years ago," right? It's interesting, and we look back and we can see things clearer, but you know what? We have the ability to look forward and see things clearer. We have the ability to look forward in time and see things clearly what they will be. Jesus, the Bible tells us, will reign on earth for 1,000 years. The Bible tells us that the resurrection is not just for him. He's just the first fruit of it, but that all of us who believe in him will rise again one day and live eternally in heaven. The Bible predicts and tells us that there'll be crowns that'll be given. For those who resist temptation, say no to sin, there'll be a crown of life. For those who patiently waiting and looking for his appearing, there's a crown. There's a crown of rejoicing if you can lead someone else to Christ and bring them with you. There's a shepherd's crown, and there's other crowns, I'm sure, that might not even be mentioned, but there will be rewards given one day. We can clearly see what's coming and not have to wonder, guess, or blindly invest in what we're taking part in. You don't have to miss it because you can see what it's going to be. There'll be no regrets from anything that's done for the Savior's name and the Savior's sake. All people have passed up on great opportunities and kick themselves and wish that they would have followed their their instinct or taken that opportunity or that chance to stretch themselves because, oh, how things would be different now if they'd only did that back then. I mean, just think about it. If you would have decided not to be a Kentucky Wildcat fan, brother, you wouldn't be mourning like you are this year. You know, you have to look and think that, wow, I had the opportunity, but I missed it. Oh, this story of the innkeeper or whoever it was that told Mary and Joseph, we don't have any room for you in the inn. I bet they wish they could go back and change that now. To find no room for Jesus is a horrible thought, but yet it's one that obviously all of us should be at the altar bowing and begging for forgiveness if we were looking honestly at our life, thinking of the places that Jesus should be that we've not allowed him to be in our days since we've been saved. Can somebody say amen? It's a convicting thought. I'm so glad that forgiveness forgets, and I'm so glad that God washes our sin away, not only when I got saved, but when I confess them each day. Can somebody say amen? What a horrible thought to think of everything we've done wrong to sometime be up on a screen for everyone else to see in the judgment. I'm praying that God changes the channel when my program comes up. No room for Jesus. What would possibly take his place? Who could possibly get there before he would so that there would no longer be room for him? Oh, I think we ought to make more room for prayer in our life this next year. Jesus ought to be found in the prayer room of our life. There ought to be more time given, more time spent. I don't think that we'll pray too much in 2022. I don't think I prayed too much in 2021. In my personal Bible reading, there's no way that I've read the Bible enough. There's no way that I've opened my ears and opened my eyes enough to see and hear God's Word. I think it's awesome that now I can play it through my radio when I'm on my driving wherever I'm going. As long as someone don't call me and I hit the handset, I can get the Bible playing through on my radio now. I'm excited for this next year. Personal Bible reading, personal prayer, preparation to witness. Oh, you ought to have every thought and every intention to share the gospel with somebody this year. I think that Jesus ought to have a place to reside when it comes to our witness and our evangelism. In practical ministry, does he have any room in your life so you can serve someone else in his name's sake? Is there any room in your schedule that Jesus could have a place and you could serve his body and his people and the ones he loved? I would think and hope that in 2022, it would not be said of us, no room in the inn. You know, my life, it should say inn once I accepted Jesus Christ. It should never say no vacancy. It should always say full excess. It should say there's room for you. Jesus, where do you want to stay? The best room I have ought to be reserved for Jesus every day. There was no room in the inn. Maybe it was because of the stresses of the day. Maybe the innkeeper had plenty of bills stacking up and he just thought he could not give away a room to a young couple that obviously didn't have enough money. Maybe there were other things that was going on in his more important people that were staying in that weekend that he had to make sure they had a place because of their possible advantage and thank you for that. Amen. Now I can just talk a little quieter. But I don't know what the reason besides there was no room. That's just the bottom line. I think about this next year. I hope you'll make room. Hope you'll make room for him. Now, having that thought is not just the end of the story. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 2. I want you to see that somebody had room for Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, look at verse number 10. We've skipped some of the story of the wise men that came from the east, and had seen a star, and the star, when they saw it again, in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And the Bible says, and when they were come into the, what's it say? The house. They saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother. Go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. He arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in the dream, he turned aside into parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Interesting. Joseph went up from Galilee in Luke chapter 2 out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea. But after he had left because of the dream and went to Egypt, he wanted to go back to Judea. Interesting. I don't know exactly where the house was that Joseph and Mary and the young child were when the wise men came. But it strikes me odd that if they went back to Nazareth after he was born, and then from Nazareth went to Egypt, you would think that when it's time to leave Egypt and come back to Israel, he would just come back to Nazareth. That's where he was from. That's where they came from when they came to Bethlehem. But it says he wanted to go into Judea, but then decided to go to Nazareth, and that's fulfillment of prophecy again. I don't know where the house was, but I know somebody had room for Jesus in Matthew chapter 2. He was in a house. He couldn't be in the inn in Luke chapter 2. There was no room in the inn, but there was room in a house, because that's where the young child was when the wise men found him. Can I tell you this? I don't know whose house Jesus will reside in this year. Joshua said, as for me and my, we will serve the Lord. And you know, it's very unlikely that everyone here tonight will be here the same service in 2022, the last Sunday night of the year. I don't know which house Jesus will have room. I don't know which house that Jesus will have to leave and not be a part of. But friend, you have a choice. You can make room for Jesus to be in your house. And I'm not just talking about your family. I'm talking about your earthly house. This tabernacle of flesh, the Bible says that Jesus would love to reside. He would make it a temple if you would let him in. Our bodies would be the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I think that if you're not saved tonight, ought to be the first thing you decide. I want to make room for Jesus in my heart. Can somebody say amen? Make room for Jesus in your heart. Then why don't we make room for Jesus in our head? Those thoughts, those things that you contemplate, what you watch, listen to, take part in, why don't we make room for Jesus in our minds? The Bible says we ought to love him with all of our heart and all of our mind. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Reason? I thought it's just blind faith. No, it's not. Love him with your mind. That thing that God gave you that you haven't been using very often. No, you have, but I just tease you because we can love him with our mind. You can love him with your heart, love him with your mind. You can love him with all your strength. The effort that which you give. Oh, it's an amazing thing. Elliot was watching some strong men lifting weights, and they were lifting these big old barbells, and he was asking questions about lifting weights and stuff, and I had all the answers for him, by the way. You can tell I'm very experienced in that field. Not, and we were talking about it, but you know, when you give the Lord your strength, your effort, your energy, what motivation and what purpose you have. It's a great thing to love him with. You can love him with what's left, or you can love him with what's first. Jack gave me a little pen this morning. He said, "Preacher, you don't have a pen on your suit." And I said, "Yeah, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. If somebody gives me one, I stick it on there. It usually stays for a long time." And he said, "Well, I'm going to give you one." And I said, "Well, that's great. I'll wear it." And he said, "No, I'm going to give you the one I have, and I'll get me another one." And it just says, "Jesus first," with a cross as the T. Jesus ought to be first. He ought to have the first room in your life. He ought to have a first room in your house. There ought not to be that testimony or that thought that there's no room in the inn. Oh, there ought to be room for Jesus in our prayer time. There ought to be room for him to read the Bible. There ought to be room for him in witnessing and serving and being a part of encouraging. Oh, I pray that others will see that you have made room for him to be in your house this next year. It amazes me. The wise men came and they found him in a house. Where was that house at? I do not know. But it makes me think it might have been in Judea. He wanted to go back to Judea. So after they had the baby, I'm sure people heard, and they said, "Hey, this is the Christ child? This is Messiah? This is Emmanuel? Where are you living at?" "Well, we couldn't find a room to have him in. We're kind of looking. Why don't you come stay with us? Hey, we got an empty house over." I don't know where they got and how they stayed, but I tell you, they were in a house when the wise men came. They were in a house. Somebody had room for Jesus in Matthew chapter 2, and they didn't in Luke chapter 2. Oh, maybe in the past you haven't had room for Jesus in your life. Boy, it embarrasses me when I think back when I got a Bible for graduating high school. And my preacher, they gave me a Bible. And at first I thought, "Oh, what a great gift for graduation, a Bible." And when I went to college, I thought, "You know what? I'm going to make sure I read this whole Bible." I'm going to college. And I had learned things from osmosis. That's just being around, okay? I'd learned things in Sunday school. I knew that Moses didn't get off the ark, amen, okay? And it was Noah. And I knew some of those stories. And I could quote you some verses. I wasn't ignorant, but I didn't know the Bible for me. That's embarrassing that I was 18 years old before I sat down and really tried to read the Bible and just read it because of who God is and what he gave for me. I remember sitting on the edge of my bed. Some of my friends were playing PlayStation at Miami University. And I was, "I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read through this thing." "What are you doing that for?" "Because I think I need to know what's in here." Boy, have there been times in your life when you haven't had room for Jesus? And you look back and you think, "Oh, what an idiot. I could have bought Apple stock when it was $1 a share. Oh my goodness, how did I pass up on that one? I could have been, why did I do..." When you look back at your life, have you made time to pray? I remember a last Sunday of the year in the old building, and I can't tell you what year it was, but when we preached in the other building, and you come down the pulpit, there were some makeshift altars, and there was a couple on the side wall on both sides. And on this side of the old church, there were bees up in the wall, and for a while, honey started dripping down the wall and dripped on the altar. That was the sweet spot of the church, you know what I'm saying? And I remember I sent Will up there, "Get those bees out of there." Will's not a bee man. "Okay, preacher, I'll go get them." Like, hope he comes back alive, you know what I'm saying? But and I remember going and I remember preaching saying, "I hope this next year, every time I walk by the altar, I'll stop and pray." I remember preaching that, and I didn't stop every time I went by the altar to pray. I had every intention to pray more, but I didn't have any plan in place to pray more. Boy, I hope that you'll make a plan. Get a friend, get a buddy, make a time. I'm amazed at how different my last year and a half has been by praying and trying to pray more. I'm amazed. And I'm not trying to exalt any spiritual victory in my life over somebody else's. I'm just telling you, if you'll make time to pray and you'll decide you're going to do it, you'll never regret that decision the next year. Do you have a house for Jesus? Or do you have an inn that's already full? Do you have a plan to read your Bible? Or are you just hoping it'll happen, figuring it might take place? Ah, if I get around to it. Get around to it's like cleaning your garage. Can somebody say amen, okay? Or your basement, or that spare room that you... I'm going to do that when I get around to... sure you are. And somebody's going to sell it at your auction after you die. Amen, okay? Let's make a plan. I'm going to do it. I'm going to read through it. I'm going to spend more time intentionally. Boy, whatever the spiritual decision, houses just don't happen. There's plans, there's foundation, there's construction, there's expenses. There's all kinds of thought that goes into a house. A motel, we'll find when we get there. Let's make a reservation last minute. House doesn't work like that, does it? There was a house for Jesus. Do you have a place for him in ministry? Do you have a place that you're going to say, I'm going to be that person? Boy, if you miss Sunday school, I hope that you'll decide, I'm going to be the person that does not get offended this next year. Brother Kent York told a couple of silly illustrations about people being offended in church. I'm telling you, it happens so often for all the wrong reasons. Remember, somebody at the other building said, preacher, you always go down that way when you shake hands because I sit on that side. I'm right-handed. That's just all I can tell you. I went down that way to shake hands. It really wasn't intentional because if I knew it, I would have been down there to shake hands the very first time if I thought I'd be offending you. It happens. We're people. We think too much about wrong things and not enough about right things. Can somebody say amen? Won't you decide that I'm going to make room for Jesus so I won't be offended this year? I'm not going to let what anyone else says or does keep me from serving or going forward with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it can be a preacher. It can be a person you love. It can be a spouse or a child. You can get offended for all, and probably some of it for good reason. We're idiots too up here, amen, okay? Will said amen real loud. Thank you, Brother Will. We do things that just from time to time for whatever reason. But I hope Jesus always has a house. A permanent place. Not just that he comes and stays a day at a time or a week at a time for a vacation. No, I want him to reside in my plans and in my thoughts and in my life for next year. And you know, if he does, there are some telltale signs that you've been with Jesus. There's just some undeniable evidence that you've been with Jesus. When Jesus first was born, evidently there was a star that was shining bright, showing of where he was at. And when the wise men came and they saw the star, it must have moved from, they came to Herod in Jerusalem looking for the child, and then it was over a different area, and they found where the young child was. It shone bright around him. I don't know if when they left the house, the star was still there and they saw it as they departed. I don't know if the star disappeared because it just led them to him and that was all the star was needed for. But I know that there are some examples in the Bible that just shine brightly when you've made place or made time for Jesus. Look at two with me and I'll be done. Go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. One positive, one negative that you others will know if you've made room for Jesus in your life. Exodus chapter 34. Moses had went up and got the second tables of the law. He was the first one that broke the Ten Commandments. Amen. He broke all ten of them at one time as he threw them down. That's a horrible joke. Although I did get a joke book for Christmas, and there's some good ones in there. Thank you, Nancy Jeffers, for giving me that book. I found out that Peter made the all-defensive team in the Apostolic Basketball League. Did you know that? Peter was on the all-defensive team. He denied Jesus three times. That's a bad joke. You gave that to me, Nancy. You're the blame. Exodus chapter 34, look at verse 29. It came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him at Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with him, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Oh, if you'll make room for Jesus, other people will be able to tell from your expression and from what shines on your face. You can't keep from what's in the heart of coming out through your eyes and your face and every other area of your life. You can just see when someone's upset or not, can't you? You can tell. Judson was upset this afternoon that Presley and Elliot were playing together. I mean, what in the world's happening? The apocalypse is almost upon us. My two middles are getting along at home. And Judson, he's left out now because usually he's got one to play with because they're always fighting each other. And he can just pick either one and be with. He was saying, you play with me. And me and his mom got to play with him a little bit. But they didn't give him some toy. And I said, Judson, you can't steal that from him. And he went. Courtney said, that's a you face right there. That's a you face. What do you mean I can't steal it? You can see it all over his face. You know what? When you've been with Jesus, you can see it all over your face. You can see it. You can tell when someone's been encouraged with the Lord. I'll look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Oh, Moses, he found a place to dwell with Jesus up on the mountaintop. And there are definitely great places on a mountaintop of victory with Jesus. But he also said he'd walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. His presence would be near us. His rod and his staff would also comfort us. If you'll make room for Jesus, others will be able to tell it. It won't necessarily be because the mountaintop. It'll just be because you've been with God. And that is a mountaintop wherever you're at. And the other way that I think that people will be able to tell that you've made room for Jesus. Go with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Just a couple simple thoughts. As I was reading that story of Matthew 2, and I thought, there's no room in the inn, but they had room in the house. Somebody had room for Jesus. He was in a house. Even though he couldn't be in an inn, the wise men found him there. Matthew 26, verse number 69, the story of Peter, how he made the defensive team in the All-Apostolic League, okay? It says, now Peter sat without in the palace, Matthew 26, 69, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out on the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. I promise, I swear unto you, whatever his oath was. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Oh, your face will show if you've made room for Jesus. And your foul language will leave when you've made room for Jesus. The words that you've allowed to slip off your tongue in anger or frustration or just bitter emotion towards someone else, you spend some time with Jesus and those words just go away. And when you've spent time away from Jesus, those words just come back into your mouth. It's amazing how our speech will betray how we have been or haven't been with Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. blankety blank 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 blank. Sure you do. Well, I worship Jesus. And you're like, don't sound like it to me. If you want to know how to live a Christian life, just find someone who has no idea and say, hey, what do you think a Christian lives like? And they'll say, they don't cuss, they don't chew, and they don't hang out with those that do. Oh, no, that's a different story. They'll say, they don't cuss, and they go to church. You ask any person who does not know Jesus, what's a Christian do? Well, they don't curse, and they go to church. And they'll say some other things too. Hey, listen, if you'll make a house for Jesus, others will be able to see him permanently through your windows when they look in. Amen. They'll be able to see that Jesus is in there. There's no hiding him. Moses didn't even know his face was shining until everybody else said, put a veil over it. Now, people have asked me to put a veil over it, not because of Jesus. They say, cover that thing up. Put something over that, preacher. Moses, his face shone because he'd been with Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for your word tonight. As we think about making a place for Jesus to reside, I pray that we would decide that there wouldn't be a room in our life that you wouldn't have access to. Whatever door I have locked, I would give you the key and the code. Lord, would you rule and reign over everything, over every place in my life? Would help me not to have any avenue, any entertainment, any entrance that I don't give access to you. Oh God, would you move in our midst tonight? I don't know where the house is, and I don't know where the house will be next year that you'll reside in, but I know you would reside in any that would open the door. In fact, Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up, I will come in and sup with him. Oh, friend, he could be in your house this next year if you'd allow him. If you'd make up your mind and make a plan, he would reside in your tongue, and your things, Jesus would be found all around. As the piano begins to play, the invitation will be given. What's God speaking to you about? Which room does he want in? Does he want in this room or that room? I'm not trying to be specific. I'm not trying to preach on any certain topic tonight. What room does he want access to that you've been holding out? Oh, you can't go in that room, Jesus. No, I can't let you in there. No, there's no room for you there, Lord. That room's filled.